social difference between hill country and plantation country?
Well, up where you see this prairie section runs through here, you know, from Tupelo down through here, we live in this what they call the black prairie section. The niggers call it prayers. I heard Dr. Cook make a speech. He was president of the University of Southern Mississippi down in Jackson. He said, now, I was born up in the prayers. He said, now, listen, I'm not making a grammatical error. Says in the West, it's prairies. But it says, what the way I live near Crawford, Mississippi, it's prayers. And the niggers still refer to this area as the prayers, as opposed to the hills out on the western part. We live in...
I bring it up because my impression is that the hill people in the hill country may have had more inhibitions about this than...
Well, it was slight, but there was people, you know, lived in the prairie section. They thought they had better land, and you know, and maybe it was better land. But this black land, you've seen it between you and Columbus, it is a different land. That's called the sandy land. The niggers referred to it as the sandy land and the prayers. And see, this M&O railroad is a pretty good dividing line. If you'll notice, you go over this way, you get in the sandy land. Over here is the prayers. And there was maybe some slight...
I did some interviewing in Pontotoc, and I get the impression there that there was pretty sharp social difference.
Well, it was, but it was...
Land people looked down on the gray land.
Well, you're right, it was some slight, I'll say it was. It was some slight...
And to carry this out, the religious and moral feelings may have been much more strict in the part of hill people who wouldn't use ore and gold and stuff like that.
I know the niggers, they didn't have much use for the ones who lived in the sandy land. I live in the prairies, rich land, black land. The niggers live on sandy land. Oh boy, it was more marked among the niggers than it was the white people, to tell you the truth. Yeah, because they didn't have much use for a sandy land nigger.
Those things are fascinating, and yet they're very hard to understand and define, aren't they?
Well, unless you lived with it and lived through it.
Did you have any sheep?
Yes, we had. One of my grandfathers raised quite a few sheep. And I had an old uncle that lived just a mile up from us, a couple of miles up the road from us, who sheared some sheep, and they sent that wool to their relatives up in Virginia, and they spun that wool and sent them back two suits of clothes made out of that undyed. And it was the warmest clothes you ever saw. They made them a coat and pants and vest out of their own wool and sit those suits, and they wore them around, you know, just every day. Terrible looking things, but they were serviceable and very warm.
The male and female of the sheep would be called?
Yo. E-W-E was the yo. Buck.
Buck.
Yeah. And you had to watch that buck, he would butt you down. My grandfather had a big red pole bull one day, and I saw that he and that one of the big old bucks got in an argument there, and that buck backed off about 50 feet and took a flying start, and he hit that bull in the side with his head and knocked him down. Yes, sir. He really knocked him off his feet. He just turned, he had long horns, you know. He hit that bull in the side, boy, and over he went.
I've often heard people talk about the problems they had with dogs, with the sheep. Do you remember any?
Dogs were bad on sheep. They would kill them, just for meanness, evidently. They would kill them and kill another, just kill them, just for, because we try to keep them controlled. Grandfather would take a shotgun out and kill everyone he could see. Well, that wasn't so terribly bad, but it did happen. Because dogs we kept at home, generally bird dogs, pointers and setters, because my father and all the